Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we are 8 weeks away from the primaries. Currently, there are five major candidates in the Democratic Party running for governor. The latest polls show that Philip Levine is in the lead with Gwen Graham not far behind, followed by Chris King, Andrew Gillum, and Jeff Green. Well, our next guest is Orlando businessman Chris King. He is the founder of Elevation Financial Group, and he joins us from the studios of sister station WMFE in Orlando. Welcome to Sundial, Mr. King.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Lewis.
And if you have a question for Mr. King, call in at 800-743-9576, or you can find us on Twitter or Facebook, WLRN Sundial. Again, that's 800-743-9576. Mr. King, why are you running for governor?
Well, Lewis, you know, I have been very dissatisfied with the state of politics in the state of Florida and the Democratic Party. And so most people who followed my race and what's given me lift is I have been the candidate to stand up to conventional politics and to bring fresh ideas both to the Democratic Party, but to the political debate in Florida. And I have been so proud as we get to 8 weeks before the primary that we have been leading the debate on the major issues of the day. And I think I've demonstrated, whether it's affordable housing or free community college and trade school or taking on the sugar industry, that my candidacy has been one that's brought new ideas and stood up to some very powerful political interests.
So depending on which poll you read, you are climbing, but you're still behind Philip Levine and Gwen Graham. So with 8 weeks left, what's the strategy?
That's right. You know, I've been very encouraged. I'm just coming off of a long weekend in South Florida where I spoke 10 or 12 times throughout South Florida. And I'm very encouraged that our numbers have been climbing pretty dramatically in markets across the state over the last 2 months. But with 8 weeks to go, we've got to make up some territory on the front runner. And the way I do that, I believe, is making sure we get our message and my story in front of as many people as possible so that they understand that my candidacy is one that is not just trying to suggest that victory is about winning, but it's also about being transformative with our politics. And I think that's what voters in 2018 are looking for. They're looking for candidates who are authentically progressive, but also are creative and have the ideas that address some of Florida's biggest problems.
Now, you've stated in other interviews that you don't have the money that Levine or Jeff Green has. So how important is it? How important is your ability to buy that ad space and build, you know, a fully fledged campaign?
Well, it's certainly a huge part of it. I mean, we have been we've been up on many markets throughout the state, and this next month you'll see us in a lot of additional markets. And so we've had the ability and will have the ability to communicate our message. But look, it's daunting when you're running against a billionaire or someone with the resources of one like that. But my belief, my optimism, my idealism in the people of Florida and in Democrats is the winner is going to be somebody who captures the imagination and has answers to the biggest problems of Florida. Take affordable housing. If I wasn't in this race, this issue would not be being talked about. And yet, in South Florida, it is, I would argue, one of the number one economic challenges. Families across South Florida are often paying 40 or 50 or 60% of their income in rent or mortgage, often having to drive an hour and a half between the job and their home or their apartment. I think that's wrong. And at the very time that we've had that issue, these last 20 years, as it's gotten worse and worse and worse, our leaders in Tallahassee have been raiding or taking from the Affordable Housing Trust Fund to the tune of almost $2 billion, which has been an attack on working families. I've been so proud, Lewis, that my campaign has said, we're going to stop that. We're going to fix this issue, and we're going to stand behind working families across the state of Florida.
The number again is 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. You can always find us on Twitter or Facebook. Just go to WLRN Sundial. You could post your question there. Let's hit some of the big issues. And Mr. King, I want to start with gun control because that did take center stage this past legislative session. After the Parkland shooting, we've seen students now, they're on a tour of the state to get the vote out, and they're challenging the NRA. The governor signed gun legislation going against the NRA. They're now suing the state, the NRA is. You've come up with this idea called the Every Kid Fund. What is that?
That's right. So, I am from Orlando. So the Pulse nightclub tragedy was obviously a major inspiration for me in informing and formulating my gun safety policies early in my campaign. And then, of course, the students of Parkland, I met a number of them even this weekend down in South Florida, have been enormously courageous and impactful in changing the debate across the state of Florida. I often say we're standing on their shoulders when it comes to making these arguments. You know, I have been so proud that my campaign has introduced what's been called the most ambitious policy to date when it comes to addressing gun safety in Florida. Now, first, I'm for a ban on assault weapons. I'm for universal background checks and a lot of the things that traditional Democrats are now talking about. But where I go one step forward or further is what I call the Every Kid Fund for Gun Violence Prevention, which I rolled out last month, which would be a dedicated revenue source which would invest in the very best programs, initiatives, and technologies to prevent everyday and mass tragedy gun violence. And it would do that by taking sales tax revenues from firearms and ammunition, and it would add an additional 6% safety fee, or what's been called a bullet tax, to ammunition, to create a new fund that would seek to do these things. I'm the only candidate with this idea and approach. And I tell you, Lewis, what has been my continual inspiration is when I'm traveling around the state. I was in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago at a gun safety speech. And the way moms and dads who have suffered from gun violence, they come up to me and they often have a picture of their child on their shirt, on a button. And they continuously remind me the importance of what I'm fighting for and what we're doing, because they know how hard and the suffering that families across this state feel from losing children to gun violence.
Do you think the state should have a ban on weapons like the AR-15, a weapon that was used in the Parkland shooting?
I do. And, I said that in my very first speech for governor over a year ago, a ban on assault weapons. The types of weapons that were used in Parkland and in Pulse and in other major tragedies across the United States, these weapons have been constructed for the killing fields. They have been designed to inflict as much damage as humanly possible on the killing fields. And I often tell crowds when I'm speaking in schools or in colleges or in community centers across the state of Florida, one bad person with a very powerful AR-15 could come into this room and take us all out very, very quickly before we could do anything to respond. And I just don't think that is the way we want to move forward in the state of Florida.
Moving forward to, I want to come back to affordable housing, which is something you had mentioned in your opening statement. And look, this is a statewide issue, but as you know, really big challenge here in South Florida. As governor, explain to us how you would be able to help our community here with the issue of affordable housing. What would you do?
A great question. Dramatically. I often say I want to be the nation's most innovative governor when it comes to housing issues. I say it's our number one economic challenge. And what I have tried to explain to folks across Florida is the last Democratic governor, Lawton Childs, had a real vision of how we got this right and didn't mess it up. And in the early 90s, he established something called the Sadowski Housing Trust Fund. And it was simply a really great public-private partnership because he saw the state of Florida changing. He saw it growing. He saw more and more people coming here. And he was concerned that families would be priced out of the market. And so he created a fund that would assist or help build affordable housing for teachers and seniors and working families all across the state of Florida. The problem is that beginning in the early 2000s, Jeb Bush and future Republican governors began to take money from that fund, and it became a very, very significant problem. And so, Lewis, what I have pledged is simply by winning, because I will have enough veto-proof protections in the legislature, simply by winning, I will have the ability to invest nearly $1 billion in public and private money in all sorts of housing programs. And that would be felt in Miami-Dade County in a number of ways, from first-time home ownership to housing for seniors. And I think that could be a game changer for your area.
We are talking with Chris King. He is one of the five Democratic gubernatorial candidates. Right now, the primary's barely 8 weeks away. What has he got to do to move up in the polls? He is in third right now, depending on which poll you're looking at. We're going to continue this conversation and take some of your calls. Again, the number is 800-743-9576. What question do you have for Mr. King as he's running for governor? What do you expect from him? 800-743-9576. We'll continue this conversation in just a moment. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez, and our guest today is Chris King, the Orlando businessman, one of the five Democratic candidates in the gubernatorial race. Again, the primaries are coming up August 28th. All right, Mr. King, before I go to the phones, we're talking about affordable housing. We hit on gun control. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, too, is you brought up in the debates, you brought up the sugar industry. That wasn't really a topic until you started talking about it. And so I'm just, what is your fight with the sugar industry?
That's right. What I have argued is that if you care about rising seas and climate change, clean water, or Everglades restoration, a candidate who wants to be the next Democratic governor of Florida has to have the political courage to acknowledge that one industry, the sugar industry, has often stood in the way of environmental progress in the state of Florida. And I have argued, I think successfully, that they currently have a vice grip on our politics in this state. And, I was the first candidate in a generation that came out and said, I'm not going to take money from the sugar industry, and I'm not going to be beholden when it comes to our environment. And since then, several of the other major Democratic candidates have followed, my lead. And so I would argue, as we look out at the state of affairs in Florida today environmentally, and we look at, for instance, the discharges from Lake Okeechobee right now that are impacting the east or western coasts of the state of Florida, an issue of great economic and environmental importance. These are issues that have been exacerbated by Big Sugar's influence in not allowing us to get water south. And, one of my real concerns for South Florida, for Miami-Dade and Broward and the millions of people who live there, is their future access to water and rising seas. And without moving water south, without moving clean water south and replenishing the Everglades and Florida Bay, this is currently the best bulwark we have to rising seas and to access to clean water. And my belief is the sugar industry has stood in the way of that.
So what is the strategy, though? I mean, what is it you're trying to, you're picking a fight with them. Is it an all-out fight you want with them? Or, what do you intend to do on dealing, because you bring up the algae blooms. That was another question I have for you, is we're seeing that's another issue that could be a big killer for us this summer. But, they're not the only one to blame for that. But what is your strategy in taking on the sugar industry and agriculture in general? Because they are an important part of our economy.
They are an important part of our economy. And I have said from day one, my goal or objective was not to vilify a company or an industry. And I certainly am not in any way desiring to see an end to the sugar industry. My problem is the fact that they have enormous influence over both the Democratic and Republican parties. Look, I just gave a speech, an annual Democratic convention down in Broward this weekend. And, sugar was well represented at that speech as one of the key sponsors. And what I have, I think, accurately and demonstrated to folks across Florida is that their influence has created a situation where they're really driving what we do and what we don't do. So, for instance, I want to see a reservoir south of Lake Okeechobee that's storing and cleaning water and getting it south. They've stood in the way of that in a pretty major way. I want to see an end to these discharges that create toxic-like environments in estuaries east and west in Florida. And, I even, Lewis, this was an interesting thing, and I think gives a real sense of the difference in my candidacy. I traveled to Belglade, which, of course, is south of Lake Okeechobee, just about a week and a half ago. And I was there to really better understand what's called sugarcane or pre-harvest sugarcane burning. And my concern was, you know, we have a practice now in the state of Florida where for almost 6 or 7 months a year, 6 or 7 days a week, it snows south of Lake Okeechobee black ash. We essentially, as part of our pre-harvest burning, set our towns on fire and our sugarcane on fire. And I was there to better understand how those communities of color, deeply impoverished, have been affected from a public health standpoint. I think those are the questions I'm asking. I'd love to see a good and strong and healthy sugar industry, but not at the expense of Florida's environment or its people. I'm the only one in this race as a Democrat or a Republican making that case. And I think that's the only way we're going to see progress on the environment.
All right. I want to get to the phones now and get a couple of folks in here. I'm going to start with Michael in Fort Lauderdale. Michael, thanks for your patience. What's your question for Chris King?
I wanted to ask him that if and when he wins the primary, what are his plans to win in November against the Republican?
All right, Michael, thank you for the call. Mr. King, if you win the primary, did you watch the debate last week between DeSantis and Putnam?
Yes, I was speaking that same night, so I've watched clips and I've read about it. And I can tell you, and I appreciate Michael's question, you know, I think I've studied these candidates on the Republican side about as well as anybody. And I've argued for a long time now that I believe I am wired, I am built to beat the likes of someone like Adam Putnam or Ron DeSantis. You know, they will be, and I've told our Democrats, they will be tough, disciplined, well-funded candidates. I just believe they're wrong on all the major issues of the day. And I think my ability, if folks watched me in Democratic debates, I can, I think, winsomely and clearly lay out a vision for Florida that's very, very different. And, you know, take some of the issues we've just talked about, and let's say it's Adam Putnam. You know, Adam Putnam has never talked about affordable housing. He's been up there while they've been raiding the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. You know, Adam Putnam would oppose an expansion of Medicaid, which would cover upwards of 800,000 to 1 million people with access to a doctor who knows their name. You know, Adam Putnam has taken about more money from the sugar industry than any politician in modern times. I, of course, contrast with him beautifully on that issue. Adam Putnam has called himself a proud NRA. Vicious gun safety policies in Florida.
All right. I want to take one more call here real quickly. I'm going to Ray, I believe it is, that I have here in Miami. Ray, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I work for the Department of Transportation for the state of Florida, and I was wondering, I heard that the budget was like $4 billion. And I have a little something that Mr. Scott and his administration didn't do for us, the state of Florida employees, that there's no raises and there's no bonuses. With such a large budget, a fraction of that cannot go and help out those that are the ones that are putting all these different projects together and that are working hard for the state of Florida. How would you handle that, Mr. King? How would you take care of us as state of Florida employees?
Ray, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Ray, thank you for the call and for your work. I believe you said with the Department of Transportation, FDOT.
Yes.
First and foremost, I would argue across the board for people like Ray and state and local employees across the state of Florida. Teachers are another wonderful example. Corrections officers in our state jail and prison system. This has not been an administration or a Republican Party that I would argue values the work of working men and women who are working in our public institutions. And I think that has contributed to making them not work as effectively, whether we're talking about FDOT or our prison system. And so one of the things I've suggested is this is an economy that is not fair to a lot of folks. It works very well for the wealthy and well-connected, but not everybody else. I would be looking for ways to invest in state, local, employees that contribute so much to the state of Florida. And indeed, there are so many examples where there has not been cost of living adjustments or raises. And that's something that this next governor would have to take very seriously and begin to bake into our budgets.
Let me finish with this, Mr. King, and actually I'm going to go to a Facebook question. But this comes back to what qualifies you, because you're not a politician. And you boast about that you're the businessman. But we get a question from Chris Olson on Facebook, basically asking the same thing I wanted to ask, which is, Mr. King, why would we want another candidate who claims he's not a normal politician? We do have one in the White House.
Yes. And I share nothing in common with that politician in the White House. I am a progressive. I am a lifelong Democrat. I'm somebody who has done work, considerable work, in affordable housing and sending Title I students to college, working on environmental progress. You know, what I've argued, though, in Florida is that the Democratic Party has been good at losing for the last two decades. It has been conventional politics, status quo politics, year after year after year. And we've lost this election five straight times. I believe if folks tune in to the debates, if they read about our story, what they will see is this newcomer who is leading the career politicians in big ideas, in attention to detail. I mean, I'm running against candidates that don't know the size of the education budget in Florida. And I have demonstrated, I think, a studious attention to detail and a commitment to excellence in everything I do. That's what folks who vote for Chris King would be getting in the next Democratic governor.
He is Chris King, one of the five Democratic gubernatorial candidates. Again, the primary is coming up in 8 weeks. Mr. King joining us from the studios of WMFE in Orlando. Mr. King, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today.
Love being here. Thank you, Lewis.